Moncrief on News Talk.
Barbara and Declan are here to solve every conceivable problem you could come up with. Good afternoon to you both.
Hello.
Not every problem, but like 99.99% of problems okay. happily solved.
Well, yeah. I'm looking forward to this first one because he says at the end, please no judgment.
Yeah. Hello.
So listeners, seeking it's you like, here. Yeah. Barbara particularly is going to deliver this one through gritted teeth, I think.
Challenge.
I'm a lad in my mid-30s. I moved home at Christmas after a few years living in Australia. Since coming back, I've managed to get myself into a mess of a situation with two hot brunettes. So there's Emma and Kira. Not their real names, obviously. We all actually know each other from college, although the girls aren't very close. They meet up once or twice a year. Emma lives near me, here in Kerry, and we've a lot of history. We dated for a few years before I moved abroad, and since I came back, we've slipped into seeing each other again. Kira lives in Dublin, and we were involved years ago too, but it wasn't, this is like a chlamydia triangle here, apart from everything else,
yeah.
But it wasn't serious back then. But over the last few months, the chemistry between us has been ridiculous. She's also incredibly funny. We always end up in fits of laughter when we're together. If I'm being honest, I've been sleeping with both. Well, we know that.
Yeah.
And neither of them knows about the other. Kira and I probably have the stronger physical spark and crack, but Emma has the history and the convenience of being nearby. We're all going to the same wedding in Galway on the last weekend of March, and we're all sitting at the same table because it's a college friends table, so I can't exactly ask the bride to change the seating without it being obvious. Both Emma and Kira separately think it's great that we're going to the wedding together, and both have even suggested we get a hotel room for the night. Obviously, they mean with me, and neither realises the other thinks the same thing because they don't know about each other. In my defence, I'm not exclusive with either of them, and it's only been about 3 months. It's only now hitting me that I can't keep drifting along like this. I need to make a decision before the wedding, or it could all end in tears. But at this stage, I don't see how they won't find out. Even if I end up with one, who should I pick and what should I do? He's a catch.
No judgment, please.
Yeah, no judgment. Sorry, that's good judgment. You're allowed to say that, surely.
Okay, I'm not going to be convinced that I'm going to manage to park my judgment. Do you know what? I'm delighted for this fella. I'm just delighted for him.
Okay,
and my instinct is not to offer him any advice, but just to ask him to let us know how it all goes at the wedding.
I'd film the whole thing.
How he manages to blow up the old college friends table and hurt two hot brunettes in the process. However, the job is to offer advice, so here goes. And again, I'll preface my remarks by saying once again that you young people, anybody under about 50, have made dating so complicated, and I do not understand the rules.
I know.
And I think you overthink everything, and I think the being terrified to actually commit, not to a long term getting married, but just commit to being faithful to each other for a wee while seems to be a real difficulty. And I don't understand that. So in my old fashioned book, what this fella has done is really horrible. And not to mention unhygienic. If I thought I was having sex with somebody regularly who was also having sex with somebody else regularly that I didn't know about, I would not be happy.
Yeah.
So there's that. The other thing that annoys me is this has been going on for 3 months rather than 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I think that's gross. Does that not gross you out?
Well,
yeah, no.
No judgment in the law.
Okay, yeah, no, that, I think that. Anyway, 3 months he's been doing this. So he was having his cake and eating it. And there's a kind of a bang off the letter of he's delighted with himself.
Oh, somebody's already texted in. Yeah. This is a humble brag.
Yeah. He was delighted with himself. So I can't see how this is going to end well anyway. I mean, I think he has to be honest with both of them before the wedding rather than risk having a big, you know, drama at the wedding. And as he says, who should I choose? Well, like, choose whichever one you want, mate. But I'd be fairly confident that either or both of them will tell you to go and feck off. So, you know, I just don't see this ending well.
Yeah.
I think karma can be a nasty woman. And I think karma's coming down the tracks at him at a rate of knots. And I just wish I was there to see
it. She's going to be at that table in Galway.
She's going to be licking her lips.
A lot of people texting in suggesting a menage a trois, which I'm sure will go down really well if he did actually suggest that.
Yeah, I mean, like, I agree with you, Barbara. I think that this...
it's unhygienic.
This is a situation that... No, I don't agree with that part. But I do agree with the part where... you're saying that this is basically a problem that he's created.
Yeah.
for himself that, you know, nobody asked him to make the situation. There were lots of times up to this point where he could have made a different choice that would have eliminated the dilemma that he's in. I do think, though, that he is at a point now where he's starting to have two worlds clash together. The world where he can do whatever he likes, yeah, and get, and the world where real people inhabit, you know, lives, yeah, and have feelings, and there are consequences and all that kind of stuff. I think, look, the important thing really is that he has to make a decision what to do before that.
The wedding.
That's really clear. If he doesn't understand that, if he thinks that he's going to be able to get through that evening,
rock up on the day,
like he's on, yeah, some episode of like Fawlty Towers where he's, yeah, running around hiding and getting that, like, that's not going to happen. He's going to get caught out badly. And
this is already an episode of Friends, no matter what he does.
It's very that, and it's very kind of like, I think it's to do with dating, kind of the dating mores of 21st century, the immediate thing. It's like everybody feels like their lives are moving really fast, so they have to have everything on demand now, including multiple opportunities of dating multiple people to find out which one is the best to pick. And they're making the decisions like they're buying like something, like they're in Witch magazine, you know, where there's a matrix of all the features and benefits of each particular person. Mm. And they look across all of it and they go, that's the one that's going to suit me, as opposed to maybe having a little think with yourself and going, not which one has the best chemistry or which one is the most convenient, was one of the really, yeah, like really weird words used in the letter. Instead of doing that, actually having a good hard think and going, which one of these two people do I actually prefer?
But you're not totally addressing the fact that what he's done is horrible for 3 months.
Yeah. I'm not addressing
There's
that
a huge
because
dishonesty in what he's done.
What's dishonest about it is not the fact that he's it's not the language of commitment and whether or not, you know, they're exclusive and all that, because as you've already pointed out, that's not really something you know much about.
No, but see, at the same time, he said in my defense, we're not exclusive. But then he admits that at the wedding, this could all end in tears. If it wasn't an issue, then why is he wouldn't have emailed us at all.
Yeah, that is true.
Because now, up to now, he's been able to get away with it. But now, as I pointed out, the two worlds are coming together. So whatever he decides to do now requires honesty, because if he doesn't actually come out and say to the two
people,
and
it's going to make him look horrible.
Yeah,
you know, well, his honesty is going to reveal him to be who he is. And that's not going to go down well, I don't think, with either women. I think he's, you know, he's burnt his bridges with both. And I think, you know, he has to try and tidy this up, as you say, before the wedding. He doesn't want to inject a whole load of drama into
it
the
could
wedding.
Be that both of those women are quite comfortable with the fact of how casual it is. And they're like, they're just saying, oh, we're going to have a date sometime in the future.
I think it is
they are. But like, you know, whatever. I'm just kind of saying that. But it's not likely that he thinks that's true, because he wouldn't have written the letter in to say that. I'm trying to give him a little bit of kind of space here to go, well,
I'm not giving him any. It's all going to blow up.
So in your world, like, at what stage does somebody have to sort of like...
I don't understand why nowadays with the dating thing, it's like I meet you in a bar, we get on great and we have a drink and we have a whatever.
Is that dating there?
Pardon what?
Is it dating then?
No, but if you, you know, if we swap numbers, we're going to see each other again.
Is that dating then?
Yeah, then it's dating. Like, but yeah, like, what is dating? It just means you're seeing somebody. It doesn't mean you're going to get married or you're going to settle down or you have to anything at all.
Are you allowed to go on a date with two different people at the same time?
I would not be comfortable with that, and I don't understand that.
Yeah.
Like, but if it is something that maybe, then there should be an honesty about it. In other words, if we go on a second date, I would expect the person to be honest and say, well, I'm actually also meeting, you know, somebody else tomorrow night.
I don't know if this, like, all the cards on the table all the time is a realistic way of people, you know.
It is. It was that way for flipping donkey's years, and all of a sudden
and
then
it wasn't
over.
For donkey's years it was like you were trundled off in a cart off to be married to the person who you were going to, and then the cart came home with a whole lot of gold.
Yeah, that's exactly the way it used to happen. Yeah, well known that was that's what happened.
A new school year means a fresh start for families that are looking for a new path to help their child succeed. K-12 could be the perfect fit. K-12 powered schools offer tuition-free, accredited online public education for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. They know learning isn't one size fits all and will meet your child where they are. K-12 has been a leader in online education for over 25 years. They provide everything a student needs to feel safe, motivated, and thrive in their learning environment. With flexible education options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future, K-12's dedicated teachers are trained in virtual instruction and provide real-time support. Plus, students will belong to a vibrant online community with opportunities for extracurricular activities to help them connect with peers and explore interests, all in a setting that works for your family. See how K-12-powered schools can help unlock your child's full potential. Enroll online today at k12.com/FWD. That's the letter K, the number 12, .com/FWD. K12.com/FWD.
Well, that's what it's like in the Bible.
The thing is, though, like, Emma, right, there's Kira in Dublin, and he says there's a spark there. He's dating, in inverted commas, Emma, because she's local.
Yeah.
She lives down the road, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So if you kind of say, I need specialised surgery on my brain, who do I choose? The best one? or the one who lives around the corner?
Yeah, yeah, you exactly, know, yeah.
But you know, in a way, you're saying the same thing that I'm saying, which is that he needs to have a good heart, look at himself, and what is actually he need? What are his needs?
He does have a which good heart, person? Look at himself on a regular basis, and that's part of the problem. Carry on.
Should he? To my mind, there's three options. Well, maybe he's only
really?
Two. He just doesn't go to the wedding at all.
That's an option, yeah.
But he can't tell the two women beforehand, because if he tells the two women beforehand, one of them won't go, or both of them mightn't go. It ruins the wedding for them, but he's going to have to tell them afterwards.
Yeah.
Or he tells them beforehand and
sees what happens.
Well, what's the goal there? To avoid consequences or to actually work out?
If he goes and the two women are there, it's going to come out. So, yeah. I mean, you know,
he's also entirely selfish. I mean, the other thing is, the couple who are, if he goes and the whole thing blows up at the college
that ruins their wedding.
I mean, for the couple who are getting married as well, they're going to be aware of, Janie, did you see the drama? Like, here's in tears in the bathroom and Emma's having a nervous breakdown out in the front or has punched the head off him. Like, you don't have any right to do that at a wedding, you know?
But if he does it now, and I am advocating that he should do something now.
I think if he does it now,
I think both of the people deserve a kind of a, like, clarity on what's actually going on for them now.
But would you then go to the wedding knowing that, you know, Emma over there has been, you know?
The reason why I was kind of painting a situation where I don't think he's done anything wrong is because I actually think that he thinks that he didn't do anything wrong.
He thinks he didn't do anything wrong.
Oh, yeah.
So he thinks he didn't do anything wrong, but he does also simultaneously hold the belief that the women will think he did something wrong, which is very telling.
Yes,
he actually thinks he kind of knows.
Exactly.
You know, so hello. But so from that point of view, he knows that if he it's not tenable. It's not, the situation can't keep going because it's going to all kick off at this wedding in Galway. Regardless.
Yeah.
So I'm suggesting that he needs to think, first of all, what he would like to be the outcome that's best for himself in terms of which one of these girls he's going to back as the winner of his little competition that he's been running.
Oh, they'll be delighted about that.
Yeah. And then, no, but I mean, this is all an internal thing. And then he goes, okay, now I've decided I'm going to have to be honest with both, explain to them, particularly the one that came in second place, that this is not...
And do
not
you think the one who won the jackpot of having this absolutely fabulous guy is going to be happy with that? No, she's not.
I'm not saying... I'm talking about what is the best thing for him to do going forward. Because, again, I don't know what those two women believe, whether they believe he has cheated on them or whether they believe...
I just think it's a dishonesty. It's a dishonesty. And
so how do you handle dishonesty?
Well,
is that
I think
you
he's got to tell both of them and then not go to the wedding to avoid any major damage.
I wonder if... Is it tinged with, because how far in advance do people get wedding invites?
Oh, ages.
Yeah. Months ago.
Yeah.
And it's only occurring to him now.
Yeah, but she was just having a great time and thinking he was a great fella.
Maybe the old, you know, maybe the thinking isn't strong with this one.
I think the consequences, accepting the consequence of his behaviour, aren't strong with this one. And I think he's trying now to get out of the situation of his own making with the minimal amount of repercussions onto him. But I don't think he can get it. That can't happen because feelings are going to be hurt. Somebody's going to feel something. It's not going to be ever the situation
where...
He is
now facing the consequences of his own selfish actions, as far as I'm concerned. There's no way around that.
Yeah. So what should he do, Barbara?
He should be honest with both of them.
Before the wedding.
Before the wedding. And he should then, depending on the fallout, but I would imagine then probably the best thing would be for him not to go to the wedding.
Yeah.
Because you don't want that awkwardness, do you know?
Yeah.
But
well, I think the first part I agree with it. The second part I think is a consequence of what happens following the conversations. Because again, we don't know what those two
Unless
other people
are. They say, look, that's fine, Peter. We don't mind at all. I had a suspicion you were seeing Emma as well. That's grand. Sure, you can see me during the week and see her at the weekends. I can't see that happening. But anyway,
yeah,
that's what he thinks might happen in his head.
Yeah,
I don't think that's going to happen.
I think that what will make it cleaner is to be respectful by telling people what's been happening, to own it. If he believes that he's not doing anything wrong, that then he actually has to own it and behave kind of responsibly and decent to them from here on in. But I don't know whether that means that they can all sit around the table in Galway. I don't even know if it means he'll be accompanied by anybody in Galway. And that's, again, his own, you know.
It's his own fault.
No fault.
Yeah.
Trying to have his cake.
Fierka says, I'd pull a sickie for the wedding and keep riding them both. he is screwed, but on the upside, it will be an epic tale to tell his doctors and physios afterwards. The only way he can get past that day is to not turn up. Laura says, what's wrong with younger people? This BS of not being exclusive, but seeing someone for 3 months and sleeping with someone else without mentioning it. I'd like to know the woman's view. Seriously, men, grow up.
And somebody I'm with else, Laura.
Yeah, and the most creative suggestion has been from someone who just says, pick the one with the biggest boobies.
Right. That's your man from last week.
Yeah. That's your man from last week. Yeah. There we go. Right. Hopefully this fella hasn't been in his holidays to Prague in the recent past. I'm 16 weeks pregnant and in a relationship with a great man. However, I'm not sure he's the father. About 2 weeks after our first date, I went on a hen weekend to Prague and ended up having a one-night stand with a random man. Not long after that trip, my relationship with my current partner really took off and now we're mad about each other. I was quite sick early on in the pregnancy, so I decided to tell my partner I was pregnant. After the initial shock, he took the news quite well and has been very supportive. I just wish I could say for sure he's the father. The man I slept with in Prague actually looks quite similar to my current partner, which somehow makes the situation feel even stranger. It was a completely fleeting night and I don't even know his surname and I don't have his number or any way of contacting him. I feel guilty keeping this from him, but I'm also scared of blowing up our relationship when I don't even know for certain that he is the father. I have confided in my mother about this. She told me not to do a paternity test, keep my mouth shut and take this to the grave. Do I tell him now and risk everything or keep quiet?
Oh, God. The mother's advice is terrible, is the first thing I'm going to say. It kind of reeks of old Ireland and, you know, hiding things behind neck curtains. Look, in a weird way, it kind of reminds me of the last problem as well, is that there's somebody in a situation, partially of their own making, that has immediate consequences for people around them, but then it has long-term consequences as well. So it's much messier and it has potential repercussions for much longer than the guy in the last thing. I think that the first thing I'd say is for everybody involved, I think that a kind of an honesty is the approach that I think is the best scenario. I think that right now there's her new partner who they're getting on really well. He thinks he's the father of this baby, from what I understand. And she's let him think that. She doesn't know. And again, that's a non-judgment statement. She doesn't know. I think that has impact too, is that she is in a situation where, is she going to know and then not tell anybody else? I think that's a recipe for disaster. It's also a recipe for like really unsettling herself, kind of giving herself lifelong trauma, you know, for the rest of her life about what, you know, I haven't told the kid this, I haven't told my husband or partner or whatever this. That's just mayhem. And I think that the problem is that she's at this juncture where she needs to put the cards on the table, because I think putting the stuff together afterwards will be a much more coherent future for everybody, rather than, you know, the potential of information, and this kind of stuff tends to always come out, of it coming out in some way at a later stage, particularly when it comes to like a child whose medical information is enmeshed in parentage, and DNA information is so easily acquired and all that. So it's not like it's something like in the olden days where you could crush this information and hide it and nobody will ever know. There's so many ways in which...
God, we were the old days.
So what I'm saying is that no matter what, her mother's advice is terrible for that reason, because like it's not a goer. I think that's not to say that there isn't ways in which she can keep the information from her partner, but that's kind of that's an ethical situation that might again come out and be just, you know, discovered at a later stage. Then the child's rights as well make it really complicated. So this is not just somebody going, what's the best thing to do to keep the peace? This has massive reverberations. And it's really complicated. And I think right now, I think for me, the best thing to do would be, without any judgment, to kind of say, in the early stages of our relationship, this thing happened, and this is the consequences that might be the scenario. And, you know, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I feel sorry for this woman. I think this is a difficult situation. I don't agree with you dissing completely her mother's advice, because I think her mother is coming from a place of trying not to hurt people. And, you know, the chances are she will get away with it if she doesn't say anything and everybody assumes that her partner is the father of the child. No, just wait.
I don't know if that's true.
Just wait. And the chances are that she, you know, that it may never rear its head. And I mean, I think the person that you mentioned briefly, but I think is another equally important, if not the most important person in this whole story, is the child.
Of course.
And I believe that children have a right to know their origins. And so I wouldn't, you know, the mother's advice, I think, came from a place of love, and I can understand why she would advise that. But I do think that all children deserve to know their background.
Right, two of those things are the same thing. Sweeping things under the carpet in order to protect
But
people.
I don't think it is. I think you're equating it with sweeping it under the carpet so that nobody's ashamed, and you kept saying no judgment. Those days are gone. There is no judgment.
But she said take it to the grave.
It's not about shame. It's about just making life easier for everybody, for the woman here, for her partner, and the mother probably thought also for the child. Because if she does a paternity test and if she finds out that the father is actually the guy she slept with in Prague, chances are she'll never be able to contact that guy again. She doesn't know his surname. You know, it's practically impossible to find him again.
I didn't think about that element of it.
You know, and there are a million women who have raised children on their own without knowing much about the biological father, and having the medical information and all that kind of stuff, which is useful to have, but it doesn't. You know, there's plenty of women who've done it. But I do think that for the child, because the child deserves to know where they came from. And, you know, this is something that's more akin to having a baby using a sperm donation that's anonymous than to comparing it to old Ireland, you know, when people were ashamed of people, you know, having babies who not being married to the father, not knowing who the father was.
Well, the only reason why it's a comparison is because there's another partner involved in the picture. That's the reason why.
And there's deception of him, especially if he's not the biological father.
Yeah, no, I'm only giving the mother a pass on her advice. I understand where it came from.
It
is to make life easy for everybody. And I totally get that. But I do think, and I think because any child deserves to know their history, I think then she does need to do a paternity test.
When you say a child deserves to know its history, I mean, I'm including, you know, health records and all that stuff, and DNA and all the stuff that modern science kind of opens up that didn't exist before. And so that's kind of what I meant. Yeah. I'm saying that a child does deserve to know from a historical point of view, from a medical point of view, all of those things. And telling a child like a dishonest story, because you're trying to keep things.
That's exactly my point.
That's the kind of energy that created so many problems in this society
and
before.
And that actually is the overarching concern here eventually. Yeah. And it mightn't seem that way now because you're only pregnant and you think of baby. But actually baby becomes child, becomes person who deserves to know and who has a right to know. So I think she does need to do a paternity test. And, you know, I mean, it's not like the other fella with his two girlfriends. you know, she's not looking to pursue the fella in Prague, I would imagine. I think if she's happy
she,
with
she
this
can't
partner,
do a paternity test until the baby's born, I assume.
I don't know. Yeah.
I didn't. That was in the letter. It implied that she had to wait until then. I don't know anything about that science.
Yeah, I don't know, actually, to be honest.
So, yeah, in which case, for many months down the line, a baby's been born, her partner thinks he's the dad, and then she says, by the way.
No, I would discuss this with the partner now, even if she has to wait for a paternity test.
So, even if he's out the door, in reaction to that.
Well, yeah, if he's out the door, that'll tell you a lot about him.
Yeah. Well, it's a big ask.
It is a big ask, but there's lots of great guys who do it. I know.
Yeah, I think but fundamentally we're agreeing the same thing. It is that point of like you say, this is the story. And again, I don't think there's any judgment in that scenario, but it's just presenting the fact this is what's happened. This is the story. I still don't know the information and I will not know the information until a certain point.
Yeah.
That puts everybody in a situation where they, you know, they have choices to make. And it's very, it's
and
complex.
In fairness, unlike your man with his 3 months, this was 2 weeks after their first date. So you know what I mean? Stuff happens.
Yeah.
And I think if he's a decent guy, he mightn't enjoy being told initially, but he'll come round.
She needs to tell him. If he loves her, he won't care. As that happened only 2 weeks into them dating. Why is everybody being so irresponsible and having unprotected sex, as another texter? Seriously, in this day and age, fess up now and take the consequences. The situation will
last a
lifetime.
There's a bit of punishment in there, isn't there? There's like a punishment thing in there.
There's a fair few people saying, take it to the grave or lose the relationship, for instance, one texter. Every year for my wife's birthday, I buy her perfume. I tend to choose fresh, slightly sweet scents because that's what I like. And I've always thought they suited her. Last week, though, I got a bit of a shock when my wife of 6 years admitted she's never really been a fan of the perfumes I pick out. She told me she prefers something much stronger and muskier. I said that while I understand that, I'm the one who smells it. Realistically, I'm the only person she should be trying to impress. We decided to go shopping together to find a scent we both liked. But every perfume she chose, I found overpowering and honestly quite unpleasant. In the end, we left with a strong musky fragrance that she absolutely loves, but I can barely stand it. Now she's happily wearing it, and I feel like my opinion doesn't matter. I can't help thinking it's unfair that she's chosen something that makes me want to vomit. Am I wrong?
Yeah, you are. Okay, two things. First of all, I love the bit where he says, I'm the one who smells it most. No, you're not.
She's the one who
smells it most. So your wife isn't allowed to choose the scent she wants to wear. She is the one. And the second thing he said is that you're the only person she should be trying to impress. No, she might be trying to impress various people, including herself.
Yeah.
So she's pleasing herself first. And your opinion is just that. It's just your opinion. If she asks you for it, you may give it. But if she doesn't, it's nothing to do with you. So how would you feel if she said to you, oh, here's a bottle of cologne, men's cologne or whatever that I really love. Will you wear that? And you hated it. Would you wear it? You wouldn't. So why are you expecting that she would wear something that she hates just to keep you happy? Get over yourself. And I cannot believe.
The floodgates will open now in that of the innumerable men out there who go, well, that's exactly what happens in my eyes.
Yeah, exactly.
But we're going out, I come down, and she says,
you're not wearing that, are you?
Are you wearing that? Exactly.
Exactly. The hypocrisy.
Trips back up Sarah's hair. It's hanging up for you in the wardrobe.
And I find it hard to believe that she is wearing a scent or a cologne or a perfume that makes him want to vomit.
Yeah,
like
that's a bit harsh.
And if that is the case, you've got a neurological issue, maybe to do a migraine or something. You need to.
I would say for like a straight man, would he be quite unusual for his developed sense of all this musky blah blah? You know,
musky is way sexier than florally, fresh scents.
You know. I'd imagine it's up to taste, which I think this is what this is about. It's about people, you know, having different tastes and smelling things slightly differently, and then liking what they like and not liking what they don't like. But the fundamental point which you've already made is that she's the person who has it on her, near her the most. It's on her body. Her opinion counts the most. I think it's really funny, though, that he's seems to have ignored the fact that I think he said for 6 years she's been wearing stuff that she doesn't like because he likes them. So she's already done 6 years of a 12-year deal. So you're going to get at least 6 years of her wearing that musky smell. And that would barely be even because, you know, you're only smelling it.
But
she
may not
room.
Have worn the other ones. I'm wondering, did she wear them or did she just go, thanks very much, and
or
stick
with
them
the
in
nose
a drawer?
On, the nose on this guy, I'm sure he would have gone,
You're not wearing your fragrance. I think also, it's a bit... Look, there might be situations and times when they're definitely going to be together a lot that she might wear something different, but I think she should be able to just wear her own.
And I mean, again, I made a flippant remark about migraine, but I know as somebody who used to suffer from migraine, like smells can trigger you to feel kind of nauseous. And if that is the case, which I don't believe it is here, I think that's, in that case, you're entitled to say to somebody, can you just dial down on the perfume? I think that's something they recommend now in workplaces, don't they? That you don't wear a very strong perfume because there are people who can be sensory, you know, have a sensory problem.
Yeah, which even if
he
does have that, well, then that's a different issue.
Yeah, that's different. But I mean, that's the only pass out I would give him on being able to, anybody to be able to say to your partner, please do not wear that because it makes me feel a bit
But then
nauseous.
He would have alluded to like the other instances when the general smell in the ambience and the atmosphere would have been bothering
problematic,
him. But if it's just her and her choice on the fragrance
and
that
he doesn't
got
like
on,
it.
It's a bit controlling
to kind of
go, you know, wear this, wear the red dress and your hair up.
Isn't there a rule that you should never buy somebody perfume anyway? Because this is a really personal thing.
Hmm.
You know, unless you're sure
that you know what they want.
Unless you own a perfume shop, in which case you'd be going, no, no, buy the gift set. It's in a gift box for a reason, Barbara.
Yeah. You've just been listening to the ever fragrant Barbara and Declan there on the Moncrief Show on YouTube.
Smell you later.
Thanks, smell you later.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.